Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
The Cubs over 500 for the first time since May 28th. They have an opportunity today to sweep the Pirates. It won't be easy. Mr. Skeens means business. He's going to be on the mound throwing BBs. He's not going 9, and he'll probably leave with a 2-1 lead. I'm still raving about the Cubs. They won. They're over 500. They're back. They win today.
I think they can win the game. I just don't think they're going to win it while while Skeens is in it. So let him get his 6 or 7 innings and then come back and score 3 or 4 runs.
And now the 0-1 pitch on the way. Ground ball to the hole at short. Through, base hit. One run is in. Here comes Swanson scoring. The Cubs take the lead. Here's the pitch to Ian. Line drive, base hit, left center. It'll drive in another run. 2-1 to Tauchman. Line drive, left center field, a base hit. Another run is in. Here's the line drive, shallow center, another base hit. And another run is in. And now the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss, and the Cubs win the ball game. One of the more incredible victories that you will ever see. The Cubs rallied for 6 in the 9th inning.
I was gifted a Taylor Swift candle, and we've been lighting that before games in my office. Clubhouse manager Danny Miller, and we've found a nice little run here, so we're going to credit Taylor Swift.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
He's just a man. He puts his pants on the same way we do.
With Paul Skeens?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, boy. Yes, indeedy-do. Mully and Haw, the Chicago Cubs, man. What was that? That was pretty unbelievable.
Woo-hoo.
What a comeback victory. Maybe that changes everything.
Morning, Mully. Yes, I think that it could. It might. But right now, all we can say is I think that it was the biggest win of the year. It was the biggest win of the year because
they needed a sweep. They needed that sweep.
They needed a sweep, but also the way that they did it. They were down 7. They were down.
It's ridiculous.
And they come back and they score 6 in the 9th, and it was an explosion.
And who they did it with, right?
Well, yes.
Betancourt, he had 7 RBI in the game. PCA, he's all of a sudden just, what do you go, 4 for 4? They had
PCA,
to intentionally walk him
PCA
to get to the game-winning hit.
Got on base 5 times. 5 times for PCA. Betancourt, 7 runs batted in. That guy is on fire. The Cubs scored 11 unanswered runs. 11. PCA, he made history. Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah.
Among rookies, multiple 3-plus hit games, stole 3 or more bases in games, scored 4 or more runs in games. No other MLB rookie has done all 3 in a single series in the modern era since 1901.
The Tay-Tay candle? The Cubs have scored 73 runs in 7 games.
Which is the most in a 7-game span since 1961. And all kinds of history being made.
It's 30 more than any other team has scored in that stretch.
The Tay-Tay candle, is that what it is?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Well, whatever the vibes are, they need to keep them rolling into Washington. So I would bring the candle to Washington.
Light my candle.
Yes. I think that they are on fire. They are definitely on fire.
Yeah, and it's we are nearing ever – it's still – Craigust. We haven't even gotten to Craigtober.
Well, wait till they get to Craigtember first.
Craigtember before Craigtober.
I was on a Milwaukee radio station yesterday with Sparky, our guy Sparky, and I mentioned the Craigtember.
I don't know Sparky.
Okay. He's a really good host up there.
Okay.
And I mentioned Craigtember and bristled. They're in first place. Why would they miss him? But If Craig Counsell has the same effect on the Cubs in September that he has had in many a Brewer team, you want to pay attention.
I know a guy named Sparky who is an Irish guy, and he got the nickname because he accidentally lit the barn on fire when he was young. How did your Sparky get the nickname?
That's not good.
What? Did he just light the candle?
I don't know. I really don't know. I really am not sure.
Sparky.
I just know it was 12:50 a.m. the Fan in Milwaukee. I don't know the origin of the nickname. Okay. Next time.
All right.
We'll devote a segment to that.
Ask if he lit the barn.
But the Cubs, while I was talking to Sparky, were finishing off, I think, one of the biggest wins of their season because of where they came from and how far down they were.
Well,
They're down 10-3.
It was as unlikely a victory. I'll give you that. I mean, it just... But it was interesting because Bethancourt, after the game, was interviewed on the Marquee Network, and he basically said that nobody gave up, that nobody – like, they know they can come back. They know they're scoring runs now, and nobody didn't believe that they could do that.
It's contagious.
Extraordinary.
It is contagious. He's at the bottom of the order, and it doesn't matter. He is on – his numbers since coming up. Craig Counsell said at postgame that there's no way he could have played any better. He was 3-for-5 with 7 RBI, and he was responding to a heckler in the stands who said he stunk, and he was like, I'm going to show him I don't stink. And he did what he did. Throughout that lineup, you look, and Skeens did his job. I mean, he was human. He was a guy that had come down to earth a little bit. He gave up 2 runs in 5 innings, only struck out 6.
Yeah,
only struck us.
I'm sorry about that.
I lost that bet.
Yeah.
I thought he would get 8 or more.
But at least Dansby Swanson homered.
No, he didn't. I lost some money yesterday.
No. The real story is we lost breakfast.
Okay, that's true. I wasn't buying breakfast.
You were going to buy
breakfast. I'm not buying breakfast now.
No.
I lost the money.
That's okay.
Dansby Swanson 1-for-4. No, wait, he was 0-for-4. Yikes. Still scored 2 runs. No, he didn't homer.
And you're still getting into the whole gambling thing, and I think what you learn is that
I'm done now.
Well, you really ought not to buy people breakfast when you win, because no one will give you a dime when you lose.
Right.
So keep that in mind.
I'm done for a while. I'll
you're bowing out
at least till Saturday.
No more getting out over your skeins.
No, not until his next start. Although he's going to be probably pitching at Wrigley Field next week.
Well,
I think the Pirates come to Chicago, I believe, for a 3-game series beginning Monday. And my sense would be Skeens would be on the mound at Wrigley Field.
You should wager on how many runs they'll score once he's out of the game.
Well, that would be a safer bet because their bullpen stunk yesterday, beginning with Aroldis Chapman. Then they got to Bednar, who didn't have his control. They just finished off whoever was on the mound. What a series. I don't know what it means in terms of momentum. We've been fooled before. We've been down this road. But time is running out, and the Cubs are now 2 games over 500. Finally, they're a winning team. And yesterday felt like just a lot of fun. A lot of fun to watch.
And they go to Washington. So that should be fun.
Day off today, correct? They're off today.
Right.
But then next, they go to the nation's capital.
That's right.
And the Nationals just took care of the Yankees, I believe.
Well, I did not see the score of the game, but I did see that the Yankees got an... Well, I'll have to look it up again here because it was one of the more extraordinary plays of the season. They got a... yesterday in that game, they got the vaunted 8-6-2-3-2-5-4 double play.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. Ball was sailed over Aaron Judge's head. He threw it back in. They got two different guys caught. I think they got three different players caught in rundowns, but one guy managed to stay on the base path, so they got a double play by running down two guys.
That would be fun to watch. I did not see that, yeah. That highlight.
Oh, it was hysterical. Threw a guy out between home and third base, and then got a guy between first and second, and the guy that they initially had between second and third got back to second base.
Hmm. That sounds like a tough one to,
it was really,
to score.
It's just it was an extraordinary moment in baseball. You're right. It would take a very an excellent mind to actually figure out that it was 8-6-2-3-2-5-4.
Nationals won the game 5-2.
Good for them.
Yeah. They're coming in hot. So Rodon gets a loss in that one. Rodon's 14-9 though. How about that? A lot of ex-Sox pitchers having good seasons.
Mm.
I guess we have to mention the Sox, because if that was the Cubs' biggest win of the season, as it was termed on Marquee, that was maybe the Sox' toughest loss to take last night.
Well,
in the second game.
The second game. The first game was their quietest loss.
Yeah, that definitely.
Because nobody went there. Someone said there were 63 people in the stands, or they wanted a photo.
They thought it was maybe a couple hundred. Maybe at one point it was 63, but friends and relatives and not even maybe anybody with a big family.
The lights are on, and there aren't a lot of people here. I just did a quick count of people I can see, and I got to about 140, and that's about it.
That's Rangers Radio. Grady Sizemore said after the game that he was not in baseball during COVID, but it looked like, let's listen.
Such a small crowd, it probably reminded some of the players of the COVID days.
I wasn't around in the COVID days, but it was definitely, you could hear everything. It happens sometimes, you have games where you're not a lot of fans, but, I felt like, again, it was, guys played hard, just couldn't string anything together offensively tonight.
He sneezed and somebody in the box seat said, "Bless you." It was so quiet.
Yeah.
It was so quiet and so embarrassing.
Yeah.
A Major League Baseball game, the defending World Series champions.
In fairness, the game was rained out after four pitches
I know.
The day before.
Lot of depths before. Being explored on the south side, but it didn't get much worse. Then, bottom of the ninth, Travis Jankowski in left field for the Rangers. Vaughny. Going, Vaughn, almost Vaughn goes deep. But no, that's one of the best catches you're ever going to see in a major league game, given what was at stake. Would have been a 3-run walk-off home run. Instead, it's just a long out.
Loud out.
Long,
depending
loud out.
On your perspective, right? That might have been an embittering moment if you were hoping for a win. Say you had bet the Sox to split. Let's just take that one. I don't think anyone did. But it's hard to win two games in a doubleheader. They were close games.
That was a terrible play. I mean, it was one of those things that you just thought at one for one fleeting second.
Right. Someone was going to make a play.
This was going to be an exciting end to a game that they really did their best to try to lose.
Sure.
And it had me looking up, how tall is Travis Jankowski? There's no way he's only 6'2". He soared. Like he was going for a rebound or a dunk. He got up there, and then his glove went over the fence, and he pulled it back. And all you could say was, oh, God.
Well, that's all instinct, really. Being in there, getting able to contribute, and bringing back a homer, that was a highlight of my day for sure.
No doubt. Highlight of his year. I can't imagine he had many catches better than that.
Well, many game-winning catches better than that. And how embarrassing would it be to have lost a game for the reigning world champions to have lost to the White Sox, even in a doubleheader?
Yeah, maybe. But they're bad. They're bad this year.
No,
anyway.
They're not good.
Yeah, they're 9 games under.
I know.
It's a long season.
They've had a lot of injuries. That the first game, the second game, Max Scherzer was supposed to start,
mm-hmm.
and they had to scratch him.
Yeah, they've not had a very good year. Bruce Bochy, I think he feels a lot older this year than he probably did a year ago.
He also said he had to watch what he said because he was afraid that he'd go hard R on a
people can hear
crowd.
People can hear what you have to say, so you have to have a filter. I think that's the
catch the ball off these bums. Oh.
I don't think that everything that was probably said was Hard Knocks worthy. They went out to pass the Hard Knocks sensor.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what you're going to hear when there's nobody in the park. But the Rangers sweep the White Sox. Tough day. You have to mention this for while we're talking about the Sox for a second. Did you see any of what happened to Lenin Sosa to make maybe the longest day for him in the second game? This is what happened to Lenin Sosa in the span of a few innings. Ground ball that he and Licky Lopez decided they couldn't figure out who was going to take it, so runner goes first, right between them. Did you see that?
I saw that.
Seeing eye single. Then, ground ball, he misses the tag to try to tag the guy going to the very next batter, and then he bobbles the ball trying to make the throw. Runners on first and second. Then, home run. Instead of two outs, nobody on, home run, 3-2, Rangers. Later in the game, 5 innings later, you see Lenin Sosa's covering second base between innings. Throw comes down from the catcher. He's not looking. Hits Ouch. Him square in the forehead.
Ouch.
Ouch. Yeah, it looked like he should have come out of the game. He stayed in the game. And he probably wishes he would have left the game. Long night for Nicky Lopez. I'm sorry, not Nicky Lopez.
Lenin Sosa.
And Nicky Lopez. And everybody in a White Sox uniform.
And Lopez's family who filled half the stadium.
They were playing softball in Grand Park.
They were out in the park.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tough.
Yeah, listen, there's not. I wonder if Jerry was there. Just wonder what he thought of what he saw in the first game. Because he sneezed during that game and no one said anything.
Well, I'm sure if he wasn't there, he was made aware of just how sparse the crowd was. It's just a difficult challenge for anybody to go through. So today, what do the Sox got going today? A day game.
Yeah.
A day game. It's scheduled.
Let's get out there.
You can get in the park for $4. You can get in scout seats for $4.
They have lost 5 straight and 102 on the year.
I think it's actually worse than that.
No, I think that was lost 102, wasn't it? After 5 straight. Could be wrong. Didn't check the standings this morning.
You mean you're not?
But they were.
No, the 31 and 103. It's a 6th straight loss.
Okay, so that's
they're
worse.
They're 72 games below.
6 straight losses, and they're now. When have they lost more? They. Last year, right? 106?
No, they had 101 last year. Yeah, they're
102 in 1932. Is that as bad as they've done?
No, they're within 3 losses of the franchise record.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to get that.
Going for them.
They're going to get that pretty soon.
Uh-huh.
And then we move on. So
we got 21 college football games tonight.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Are you going to watch them all?
I'm not going to watch them all. I'm intrigued. We're going to talk about this during the pick 6. I'm intrigued by what's going on in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a big year for Brett Bielema. There's a lot of other games to choose from tonight. Tonight begins the college football weekend. For me, I'm curious about the Northwestern game on Saturday on the lakefront as well against Miami of Ohio.
Sure.
But also, as we discussed yesterday, Notre Dame at Texas A&M down in College Station. National television audience is going to be a lot of fun. I don't know what to expect from Notre Dame. They've got an inexperienced offensive line. They got a really good quarterback. Their defense should be good. Should be good again. They've got a good secondary. I have no idea what to expect from A&M.
Among top 25 games tonight, you got number 11 Mizzou against Murray State. That's on the SEC Network. Number 12 Utah against Southern Utah. That's on ESPN+. Number 22 Kansas against Lindenwood, also on ESPN Plus, and number 24, NC State against Western Carolina. That is on the ACC network.
Yeah, I love college football. None of those games do much for me.
Nope.
No,
I think you check in on the Illinois Eastern game. That's a later kickoff on the Big Ten Network. Carolina and Minnesota on Fox. That's a good game, isn't it? I mean, they're not rated teams. How about North Dakota State University at Colorado? Your guy, Prime.
Yeah.
Coach Prime. You could go ask him a couple of questions after.
Yeah, I'm not really that interested in Colorado football right now.
NDSU getting 10.5, though? I know. I'm just saying. How many in a row have they won? I'm a big Colorado fan, by the way. My dad went there, grew up a CU fan. But 10.5.
Vegas Coon here.
I'm just saying.
Pretty good. You got the lines down. How much money are you dropping tonight?
I don't know yet.
You're the college football guy.
I know.
He's definitely gambling, if you heard what his answer was.
What about Iowa? Where are your beloved Hawkeyes?
They get Illinois State at home.
That's a gift.
But no, the question about Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. So Riley Leonard, new quarterback, going against his former head coach at Duke, Mike Elko, who is now at Texas A&M.
It's a great story.
Who has the advantage
Alex,
there?
Way to go, Alex.
Quarterback or former coach?
Definitely quarterback.
Agreed. And I think Elko admitted that. He said he knows our defense.
That's a good thing. I think you can only do so much, though. Mike Elko is a very good football coach.
Mm-hmm.
I still think the advantage goes to Notre Dame because they have the better quarterback in that game.
Yeah, but he's new to their team. I mean, listen, I just think that's a really tough place to play. I have not made a selection on the game, but I think that's one of those gulp games for the opening of the season. You wonder why you wanted to open the season doing that.
Tough environment.
Yep. Tough place to play. Simple as that.
Good to hear from the Bears yesterday. Good to hear from Ryan Poles. I thought he handled himself really well. Matt Eberflus talking about the roster. It was a good day to hear Bears talk. Setting that roster, kind of tweaking it. Still fluid. A few more tweaks to go, but they still have 10 days before the first game.
Kevin Byard back in practice. Ryan Bates doing some limited back to practice, so that's good. Keenan Allen not back to practice.
Yeah, a lot of consternation about Keenan Allen. I'm not that concerned. He definitely knows what it takes to get ready. A cleat issue. I don't know what that means.
It means his foot hurts because his cleats were digging into it. Is that it?
Is it too tight? Is it the foot?
I don't know.
Is it his foot? Is it the shoe?
Must be
is
the shoe.
A combination of both? Must be the shoes.
No.
Not worried about Keenan Allen. He can still toe tap. I'm sure get both feet inbounds. May hurt a little bit. Whether he's rumored to be overweight or lost a step or now he's got a foot issue, I think Keenan Allen's one of those guys that probably at this stage of his career, he dreads preseason. Just get through it, get to week one, and you will see the guy you're used to seeing.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that.
Didn't Jim Miller tell a story, it might have been on this radio station, about John L. Williams, when he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, a guy that just wasn't a practice player.
Mm-hmm.
And at this stage of his career, after achieving veteran status, just kind of didn't flip a switch until he had to flip a switch. And then on game day, he was the consummate pro. I sense that's going to be what Keenan Allen does. Don't you?
I don't have a lot of concerns about Keenan Allen. I think he's, as I've said before and apparently been mocked for saying, I think he is like a third down machine.
Who mocked you? I didn't mock you.
No, I didn't say you did.
Who mocked you for saying that?
I don't know. I don't know why anyone would mock me.
Samori Toure from the Packers joins the Bears practice squad. What is that all about? They don't really need receivers. Is that for just intel? Is that just to see what he's got on the Packers?
They like them coming out. Maybe they're, I mean, who knows?
They've got a lot of receivers.
They don't have a lot of them on the practice squad, do they?
No, but I suppose they did make some moves on the practice squad, signed 14 guys, kept a few spots for roster flux and change and all those things. Austin Reed here, Brett Rypien not. Gone.
Yeah.
So the Bears go into the season.
Colin Johnson's on the practice squad.
Good. I'm glad. That gives them something.
I'm just saying from receivers.
Yeah. They need something they don't have.
Your guy Austin Reed on the practice
squad. Yeah. He made it. Brett Rippon's not on the practice squad, and the Bears have the youngest quarterback room in the league, easily. And they don't have a veteran. The veteran is Tyson Bagent. Austin Reed is still older. Quarterback in development.
He's still older than Caleb.
Caleb's the youngest quarterback in the building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's the only one that really counts.
And if he's good, nobody will care how many quarterbacks are in the building.
That's exactly right.
Ryan Griffin's still there, the kind of the quarterback assistant. And Kerry Joseph, the quarterback coach. So there's a lot of
young coaches
young coaches. There's a lot of good direction. Nobody is suggesting that. It's just unusual for a team not to have a veteran presence when they have a rookie starter. The Bears are going about it in a way that makes them they're trusting Caleb Williams and that maturity, and they're trusting Tyson Bagent to be the guy that sees things the starter can't. So Austin Reed is their guy they're going to keep and see what they've got. I wonder if Brett Rippon will land anywhere.
Yeah, I haven't read that he has yet.
UFL?
But maybe he winds up back here. Hope not. Hope there's no injuries or anything like that, but guy that you had in practice that is in the on the street, you sometimes bring him back later in the year.
Possibly.
Hopefully not.
I doubt it.
Because that would mean there's been an injury. That would mean something awful has happened, and no one wants that.
Nope.
All right, we got all the stories of the day. We're going to pick them apart. We'll do that next in the Pick Six. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
The Pick Six is sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or weight loss options. Guys, what did you make of Bears general manager Ryan Poles' answering this way when asked about his expectations for Caleb Williams.
I want him to lean on the talent around him. And then when the time is right, and that's an instinctual thing, and I think that plays right into him, that's when you do the special. And balancing that. And then sometimes it's going to get out of whack one way or the other, but always come back to that. It's kind of like that neutral place where he's at his best. And I think he has that just from studying him and watching years of tape on him. He has that ability.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. I agree with what he said there. That is a really good way of setting expectations for the quarterback. It's what you want, which is for him to stay within the system, for him to help them move the chains, and then when the moment comes, recognize, well, here's where I go down the field, or here's where I make a big play, or here's where I feed the ball here instead of there, or I buy a second and do something special. I like that way of evaluating it, because it's difficult when you talk about a quarterback staying within the system. When you talk about them moving the chains, you do sound like you're trying to coach the aggression out of them, which is not the idea. The idea, though, is to lean on the tools you went out and got for him. Make sure that you've got this great receiving core. Use them. You've got tight ends that are good. Use them. You got a running game that you can use. And you want him to play within the confines of what they're attempting to do, but you can't take away what his gift is, which is the ability to make a special play and to do stuff. And you do. It's true. The great ones do know when it's time to take over and try something and do something special. So I liked the way he broke that down, because it was an articulate way of saying what we've been kind of talking about here since they drafted the kid.
I totally agree. Ryan Poles said it the best. I mean, it's been talked about that this Caleb Williams probably got one of the best kind of weapons around him than any rookie ever had. I mean, you got pretty much Pro Bowl caliber wide receivers in Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. And then you got, you know, Roma Dunze, who people are saying could be the best Bear wide receiver in history by the end of his Bears career.
Thank you, K. Adam.
Right. With that being said, I mean, he has everything that you want. Swift, I mean, just play within, I feel like, the system. And I feel like I felt very comfortable with how the Bears and the offense of the game plan that they're setting up for Caleb Williams than any other rookie that I've seen the Bears have. So this is the way I'll go about it. I just make sure, like Mully said, you just want to make sure he holds that plate just a little bit longer to create those special plays, and he could do it with his talent.
Yeah, and I think when he talks about leaning on the talent around him, it's not just the receivers and DeAndre Swift and the guys on the offense. It's the fact that he's got a top 10 defense, maybe better than that, to lean on. He doesn't have to feel the pressure. I know he doesn't get nervous, and he says he doesn't get nervous, but he might feel some pressure week one because of all of Chicago awaiting his arrival to superstardom and everybody anticipating and talking about this. He's got to have some anxiety that he's going to have to manage. And I think what Ryan Poles is saying is that you don't have to do it all at once. Not until you get to the point where everybody, you know, everybody is on the same page, in sync, and then go do the special. Then he can do the special. I love that phrase, do the special, Caleb. And we know that he's capable of doing that because we've seen it in glimpses during the preseason. So he has the ability. Everything is set up for success. And I like the way that Ryan Poles talked in somewhat measured tones, because it is a broad question. It's a simple question, but it's a great one. What do you expect out of Caleb Williams this year? And he didn't sound over the top in terms of those expectations. He's very realistic, and the Bears are grounded. And that's the good news.
Pick six.
How do you process the Cubs rallying from a 7-run deficit to sweep Pittsburgh with a 14-10 victory that included a 6-run ninth inning? Was it the Christian Bethencourt game thanks to 7 RBI, or will you remember it as part of PCA's late season heater as he went 4-for-4?
It will be part of PCA's late season heater, but it is definitely the Bethancourt game because of seven runs batted in, and people still can't quite know who he is or where he came from. He's just a guy that joined the team, and since he joined the team, he has been on fire. I don't know how you explain something like this. I don't know that people will remember who this was in a year from now. Oh, remember that backup catcher they signed, and he had seven runs batted in against the Pirates in that game that Paul Skeen started, but they scored 11 unanswered runs? Oh, yeah, him? Oh, Bethan what? Oh, yeah, Bethancourt. PCA is on fire. Bethancourt on fire. He spelled Miguel Amaya, and he's going back to the bench tomorrow, I would imagine, because Miguel Amaya's on fire. I don't know what got into the Cubs. As we said, over the last seven games, they scored 73 runs. That's the most they've scored in a seven-game span since 1961. So this offense has gone from being anemic to being aggressive and dangerous. The Cubs have gone from being nine games below 500 on July 3rd. Now they're two games over. I don't know if it will be enough, but it will be enough to hold our interest through September, because they now have put themselves in a position, even though they're five games back of the Braves, they are in a position to make things interesting. And I guess that's a good thing. You'd like to see them be more consistent with the starting pitching. I don't know what they're going to do with Kyle Hendricks. God, what he's bad. Was he bad? But he didn't get any help in the infield either. But yeah, yesterday was memorable.
Dave, you said it was the best game so far of the Cubs, probably their best game. This is their best series. We've been saying that they needed a sweep, and this is a team that you need a sweep within the division. That helps you overall. Yes, it's the Bethancourt game, but I agree with you, David. This is more about Pete Crow Armstrong. I mean, we make fun of Dustin about it. I play the drop all the time that he say he's going to be the best Chicago athlete in 2028. But he's been on fire before this, and he's now getting the bats, and he's just getting hotter and hotter right now. And this could be the surge of what Dustin's probably even saying about Pete Crow Armstrong. So you love this production from him overall. Yes, Bencore had a great game. This is probably his best game of his MLB career right now. But like you said, later on it's going to be about Miguel Amaya, who's also been playing great himself. Those are the two. You called him what? Double A, AA, or whatever you call him, David. This is all about, to me, more about Pete Crow Armstrong and the start of the future, because the future is now for them.
Double A batteries.
Bethancourt is 32 and he comes from Panama. So PCA is 22. We're arguing about who had the better game. We know PCA had the better series, but what a game to get seven RBI. So congratulations to Christian Bethancourt. That's a real accomplishment to have seven RBI in a game, and especially the way that the Cubs came back to win it. You know, you don't win it without them. And as you mentioned, you know, in the ninth inning, they walk PCA because he's on base all day, and they get to Bethancourt, and what does he do? He knocks in a couple more runs. I mean, it's just
it's respect.
They did very well together. And the Cubs scored, I saw this from Christopher Kampka, a great Twitter follow. They scored 10-plus runs four times in the first 127 games of the season, and they've done it four times in the last seven games. So that tells you what kind of heater they're on. That is pretty outstanding stuff. They also lead MLB with 69 RBI from the ninth spot in the order this season, and that's
crazy.
Miles away, 33 since August 1st.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
Yeah,
and a lot of that raises the question of when are you going to move a guy up in the order? Yeah, they were really good yesterday. That was really fun to watch, and I think that you know, as the game went on, I think that when it got to 10-5, I thought to myself, they can win this game. You know, they might win this game. Just because Skeens was out and the Cubs were starting to score, and you felt like, well, who's going to stop them now?
It's a good question.
In Pittsburgh, the biggest story Wednesday wasn't the Pirates blowing a game to the Cubs, but Russell Wilson being named the starter over Justin Fields. How surprised are you? And just to reset our expectations, which quarterback do you think will start more games this year?
Well, it's not close for me. I definitely want to see Justin Fields starting more games because I want the Bears to get not a sixth-round draft pick, but a fourth-round draft pick. So if he can start more games, if he can get more than half the playing time, that will happen. So obviously, I think we're all kind of hoping for that. When you say that the guy has the inside track and then he does nothing, and the guy that you're competing with also really kind of does nothing, they had relatively the same statistics. It makes sense that you would go with what your initial thought was, but because it was such mediocrity, it's hard to believe that he's going to turn the corner. It's hard to believe that they're not going to get to a point where they're like, well, we got to try something else. Let's see if we can win with, a better, improved running game because the quarterback can run better. That might be the way that it ends up happening. But I think that I think Russ starts for four games anyway, right? I think the first quarter of the season will definitely be his, and then you will base it on how he plays and how they play with him under center. But when you go with a guy as your starter, it's usually not for one game.
I'm with you, Mully. I mean, I want it to be Fields, and I think it will be Fields. I think they're going to be a good maybe third, probably about six games for Russ to see what he can do. And then at that time, I think after that, Fields to me fits better in this Steelers offense. With Arthur Smith, I mean, the dual threat that he has with his legs is kind of, to me, gives him the edge over Russell Wilson. I just feel right now Russell's starting right now because I just think you can't have Fields start and then it's tough to then later, oh, let's just go to Russell Wilson, him coming in after he was the number two. It's better the other way around. So if, like, Russ can't prove itself, fine, that's okay. We got the younger guy in Fields. Let's see what he could do underneath this. That offensive line is horrible to me for the Steelers, and that's why I feel like Fields will start more, and I feel like we might get that draft pick for the Bears.
The most intriguing thing about this story is Mike Tomlin telling, I think, Rich Eisen that Justin Fields will be part of the offense, even as a backup, even as Russell Wilson's, understudy. And the thought of Justin Fields playing a slash role, coming in maybe for a package of plays, short yardage, or in the red zone, or maybe even on the field at the same time as Russell Wilson, is something that I think we talked about, considered, but maybe dismissed because it does sound gimmicky. But what Justin Fields did in the preseason, more than anything, was that he reminded people how great of an athlete and runner he is. Maybe still not there as a starting quarterback, and that's why I think there's more certainty, even at this stage of his career, there's more certainty in having Russell Wilson as your starter. He didn't have a great preseason. Neither did Justin Fields, given every opportunity. So I still think that Justin Fields will be the backup primarily. He'll play a role, albeit a smaller one than he would like in this offense. Russell Wilson will start more games than Justin Fields.
That's a great question, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Why did Ryan Poles stop just short of saying that the Bears had to make the playoffs this year? Or did he go far enough to make clear those are his expectations after the roster he's put together?
Thought he walked the line pretty well. He knows from being in Chicago long enough and probably being around the Chiefs even, you don't necessarily declare playoffs are bust or you say we're going to make the playoffs. You can do that in certain franchises who have a history of winning. You could do that in San Francisco. You could do that in Baltimore. You could do that in places that have a history of going deep. You could do that in Kansas City now if you wanted to. Obviously, it goes without saying in Kansas City you're going to make the playoffs. But when you are the general manager in year three and you've doubled down on your head coach of your choice and you have done everything else right, but maybe that still raises some questions in the eyes and minds of some people, you want to do what Ryan Poles did yesterday. You want to express confidence and optimism in everything about your plan and seeing it come together. You also want to say that the playoffs are what the standard is. You want to win championships. You want to win divisions. Heck, he was here to take the North. That was his stated goal. That's why the podcast exists. Take the North. So you want to start that process, and you take the North, you get to the playoffs. I thought he really handled himself well. He's also, we talk about Matt Eberflus all the time in polishing his image and the way he presents himself. Ryan Poles has also done a tremendous job of improving in that aspect. So I liked everything I had to that I heard from Ryan Poles yesterday.
I mean, I feel like I know why. I mean, expectations. He talked about expectations for Caleb Williams, his expectations on himself too, because then you make your seat hotter. If you say you're going to make the playoffs and you don't, then that makes your seat hotter. That makes the coach seat even hotter. Like, oh, do you need to make a change here? I mean, the main thing he was talking about, the focus of the season was to make a big jump. To me, what's the big jumps? Because you were 7-10. So what is considered a big jump? Is it 8-9? Is it 9-8? And just missing the playoffs? Like, is it two games better? I want to know what that big jump really is. That's, to me, the main point of this all. Like, okay, what's the big jump? So it's not the playoff. You want to stop short there. So is it just to be two games better, a game better, better than last season? So that's kind of the focus that I'm leaning on this.
Yeah, you know, getting to the playoffs, winning playoff games would be outstanding, is the way you put it. It would be outstanding, wouldn't it? Be really great. I think the problem is that you could have a really good year and then you could get foiled in the division. And I think that they've got some good teams in the division and they're trying not to get out over their skis with expectations. So I think they probably feel like they potentially are a playoff team, and certainly their talent level has improved significantly. That's a much better team than they were a year ago, certainly a couple of years ago. And they've gotten rid of a lot of the salary cap issues that were hanging over the organization. They kind of did that the minute the guy came in. You know, they wasn't Khalil Mack still here, and didn't they have to straighten that out and work on that contract, etc. So they've done all the heavy lifting and the hard work, and now they've got young, talented players, you know, made a great trade, which is paying dividends, and you imagine will pay more dividends as the years go on. But it might be too soon. I think he likes what's going on. I think they feel good about the organization, and I think that if you lay down, it's time to, you know, win or else. I just don't know that that's realistic, depending on how sometimes things go in seasons. You know, a lot of different things can go awry over the course of a season. So I feel like they need to win. I feel like this needs to be I feel like the coach needs to get over 500. Let's see that. That's not demanding too much. You know, 9 wins is in a 17-game slate. Seems like a reasonable goal for the Bears, especially given the fact that their schedule is rated the 4th best in the NFL to start the season. So, yeah, I like the idea. I like the way he handled it, but you also have to be aware that a lot of things are out there. There's going to be a lot of obstacles to overcome, and that's just the course of a regular season.
Well, okay, next question.
Were you at all amused by the sparse crowd in game 1 of the White Sox doubleheader? How about Grady Sizemore saying he wasn't in baseball during the COVID-19 season, but it reminded him of that?
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of it, too. I saw the photos before I turned the game on. And then, you know, even if later in the day you saw the highlights, God, that's embarrassing. And I get it. You know, they canceled the game. There was a rain out. I came back the next day, and it was a straight doubleheader. And it seemed like in the second game, it was almost like a normal sparse crowd. But the first game, it was shocking how few people were there. And, you know, who knows? People have lives. You go to the game. Maybe you got to go to work. Maybe you can't just live at the ballpark. School is back on. There's all sorts of different reasons. But a 4 o'clock straight doubleheader and you can't get, I mean, you know, people were... You could count the number of people in the building. That's just depressing. But they've earned it.
It was embarrassing more than being amused. It's like you had, it's 4 o'clock. So in my head, I'm like, okay, do you really want to miss work or cut out work early to go see the White Sox? We talked about it too. Like, we was looking at the tickets, and they was like, "Oh, it's $4 for like a stadium suite," like, and nobody, yeah. And we didn't even want to go to that. So I'm not as shocked. I didn't expect it to be that low overall with that crowd. And I mean, it makes sense. It's the White Sox right now. I mean, 103 losses overall is just, it should be more embarrassing than anything. And Jerry should look at this and be like, okay, something has to be done. And I don't think nothing will, though. So it doesn't really even matter.
It didn't remind me of the COVID year, because the COVID year, the White Sox were actually good. So they're not good right now. The crowd size was really embarrassing. And you did wonder how much players in the dugout, managers in the dugout, had to watch what they said because of everyone could hear them, including the other team. And that's absurd to consider at a major league game that had a little league feel. But this was friends and relatives, you know, less than 200 people at one point in time. You could count them. That's what you did to pass the time. You could count the fans in the stands. So it is somewhat embarrassing. Tickets now, you can go online, find them for $4. They should give out $5 bills and tell people that's what they're going to do today and see how many people show up. They should do something like that. You need to get as creative as possible to try to avoid the embarrassing crowd shots, because these crowd shots are embarrassing. And CPS is back in school. Day games are disasters. Bad. I know they have to plan so the Rangers can get out of town and all of these things, but when you have a day game for a team that's already lost 103 games and it's August 29th, you are telling people to stay away. And today, there are going to be thousands of people who are going to stay away.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
All right, guys, Illinois starts the season tonight against Eastern Illinois with Coach Brett Bielema, 18-19 after 4 years in Champaign with only one winning season. Is this a make-or-break year for Bielema, or does expansion to an 18-team Big Ten give him a little more leeway?
Really like Brett Bielema. Got to know him a little bit as he has been here in the studio the last couple summers, and have a different perspective on him. I think he's a lot more relatable than I thought, just covering him in a different way. He makes a good impression. You can see why he's an effective recruiter. All that said, it feels like it's win or go home. I don't know that Josh Whitman will look at it in those terms. I don't know how tough they will view this season in terms of win or else for Brett Bielema. But he came to Illinois with some high expectations. He had one winning season, 18-19 after 4 years. The other thing that can't be ignored in any conversation about what he brings to the table is that he's going to make $6 million this year. His contract kicked in last year. He's going to be a $6 million a year coach. You've got to be a coach and have a team that wins more than they lose if you're making that kind of money, right? With those kind of facilities, right? Maybe not. But if this isn't a season that he faces this kind of ultimatum, I don't know that he ever will be. And I don't know how much Illinois, what else do they value except for winning? He can't have a clunker. You can't be 4-8.
I think next year might be the year. I think because it's a little bit, I think they will get a little bit more leeway because of more teams in there. But you can't do worse than what you did last year. You can't be 3-6 in the conference. You can't do that at all. So I feel like if you could show that you can compete a little bit, maybe be a game or two better, show some improvement overall, then I think next year will be the make it or break year overall.
Yeah, I don't think he's in trouble. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that, you know, he's still kind of putting his team together. He still kind of seems to have a really good relationship with the AD. Still, you know, seems like they're on the upswing. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I feel like they're going to get a little bit better, and I feel like that the big news in the Big Ten is just how whacked out it is with all the expansion, 18 teams and all that, you know, the big Ten, everything you You hear? I think if they have an awful year, if they really get, you know, if they lose their first game and they fall apart, then yeah. But I don't think that's going to happen. And I think that they've done a pretty professional job putting their team together. I was surprised by this question just because I haven't really contemplated it. I haven't really sat back and thought, well, this has got to be the year. And I can't honestly say that friends of mine have, you know, I know a lot of people that went to the U of I, grew up with a lot of people. My son's down there now. I just haven't heard that. I haven't gotten that vibe out of the program yet. Maybe I'm not paying close enough attention, but honest to God, this one kind of surprised me a little bit. Just it's not on my radar. I'll have to look closer. All right, we've got the extra point next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Or set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What did you think of Ryan Poles marveling that the Bears' offensive line depth was as good as it's ever been and the O-line could be, quote, very good? Do you feel better about the Bears keeping 10 offensive linemen after hearing this from Poles?
I thought it was interesting that he volunteered the exchange between him and a offensive lineman he cut. And the offensive lineman, according to Poles, remarked that, yeah, this is the deepest room we've ever been in. Yeah, this is the toughest team I've ever had to make. My guess is that was Jatari Carter because he's the only one that would fit the qualification or the criteria for somebody who has been here and could relate this group to previous groups. So that was interesting. And I think he went that far because he is proud of the depth he's accumulated. He has 6 offensive linemen I think he trusts to be starters. Ryan Bates being the 6th, who right now seems like a man without a home, a man without a position. If Coleman Shelton is your center, if Nate Davis is your right guard, Ryan Bates, who returned to practice yesterday, is not in the starting lineup. Somebody who you have pursued, somebody that you have signed and acquired, and somebody that I think does speak to the kind of depth that Ryan Poles was bragging about for good reason yesterday. This might be the deepest offensive line he's had since he arrived 3 years ago. I don't know if it means that they can be effective, but they do have a chance to establish the running game, to protect the passer, and to be good enough. I still wonder if the offense doesn't work, this will be, to me, the biggest reason why. Their offensive line can't protect, can't establish the run, but they have a good feeling about it. If everyone can stay healthy and get in sync, if Nate Davis plays up to his contract, then they have a chance. So I liked what I heard from Ryan Poles, and I like the fact that he feels good about their 10-deep offensive line.
I was kind of surprised that he said, you know, he feels very good about it. I know the offensive line improved a little bit, but 10 is a lot to me. I'm used to probably 9. And it just feels like if you have an extra one, you're worried about, obviously, injuries with this team. Because, I mean, the center position, it's okay. It's fine. It's probably better a little bit than maybe last year. But you don't know about the guards. Tevin Jenkins can't stay upright. Nate Davis, you never know what you're going to really get from him. I mean, normally he plays, but he don't like to practice. And even a year before that, we were talking about Braxton Jones, even though right now the tackle has been probably better than what we expect with Wright and now Braxton Jones. But I feel like it's okay. I feel like it's a little bit better. But, I mean, it starts up front. It just tends a lot. And to me, 10 shows me that even though, yes, I feel good about it, I think he's more worried about the health of this one, which that concerns me. Because if you got your backups in there with Caleb Williams, then trouble is going to happen to me.
Yeah, I think you guys are spot on. It was a little bit of a surprise. You know, they did keep Theo Benedict and Jake Curran, on the O-line practice squad, right? So Curran at least has played a little bit. I was surprised that they didn't have more depth at the tackle position. Because here's the problem. You look at their offensive line, and Kieran Amagaji is not yet, you know, hasn't gotten up and running. He's healthy. He's on the roster. But I don't know that he's ready to play in an NFL game, right? So I think you look at that. I think you also look at the difficulty they've had with the two guards staying upright. Ryan Bates is back a little bit. Is he back? He took part in some individual drills, but not the team portion of the program. So, you know, you're keeping Kramer as an extra center. It's one of the reasons your offensive line, you've got a different group of guys than maybe you anticipated having. So I think when you just add up some of the injury questions, whether it's your, you know, would-be starting center / backup guard, whether it's your would-be swing tackle, rookie tackle, whether you're keeping another center because you're not sure who's going to be available in-game. And we haven't even gotten to whether or not you're going to have to use your blocking tight end to protect your left tackle. It's interesting to hear him say that. I don't know that I feel the same way.
They've got 11, really, because Larry Borum is on injured reserve, designated for return.
Yeah.
My sense would be that when you have three centers among your top 10, essentially they do, because Ryan Bates came into camp as a center. Coleman Shelton won the job because of injury, we're presuming. He also helps people get lined up right. But Doug Kramer is on the active roster because Ryan Bates, I think, wasn't healthy enough to assume anything about whether or not he can play. So I do wonder if it's just a general manager who feels really good about the first five, perhaps, or six. Beyond that, I don't know. If you have to get down to your backup tackles and backup guards and backup anything on an offensive line, how good are you going to be? So it sounds really good when you're setting your roster. I don't know in reality how much you're going to be able to enjoy that depth if you would at all.
It's a great, great point, David. When you talk about an offensive line, you want to know how many of the five are going to be starting the whole year. That's what the whole thing's about. That's you want to know what a good offensive line is? It's a group that's together from day one and gets through an NFL season. And there's not a ton of them that do that. But this seems like roll the bones. You know, I mean, are you going to have the same center for all those games? You don't feel like you're going to have either of the two guards for every game. And then maybe the tackles, but where are you with them?
What's his best case scenario? That's what I wish the follow-up would have been. Because
right.
What is your best case scenario? Is it that the five that are starting the season will be the five that start the majority of the season? Because if that's the case, then Ryan Bates is a luxury, an expensive luxury, as a backup. And if that's the case, then... And if it's not the case, then your first five are not your best five. And that's where you're starting the season. So it's easy to kind of nitpick and poke holes. But I think the bottom line is, talent-wise, maybe man-for-man is what he was referring to. He feels as good about the talent level, and this was as hard of a roster to make if you're an offensive lineman.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Obviously, that's my priority is let's get the roster in the best shape possible because that's going to give us the opportunity to win games. But it's always going to be to win championships, to win the division, win Super Bowls. That's always the goal. Obviously, getting into the playoffs and winning playoff games would be outstanding. But I think the biggest thing is, like, can we take that big jump from where we were last year to this year? And I think we're capable of doing that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score. Ryan Poles holding court. Talking about the 53-man roster he set, setting expectations for 2024. I didn't hear him say take the North. I thought he would say take the North. I thought that was going to be priority one, but he is being realistic. He is being grounded, and he is a general manager who should be proud of the roster he put together. He put together a roster that can legitimately feel like they can challenge the Lions. They can challenge the Packers. Challenge is the key word. Doesn't mean they're better than the Packers. It doesn't mean they're going to be better than the Lions. But if you are in a position to compete with both of those teams who are expected to be better than you this year, that is what you want. That is what you need. That is why you brought Matt Eberflus back and you believed and invested in him in year three. That didn't get a lot of attention yesterday in terms of the questions, but I do think that is also never to be overlooked as we get ready for the Bears in 2024, as we get ready for the Caleb Williams era to begin. The beginning of the Caleb Williams era coincides with the resumption of the Matt Eberflus tenure, and that wasn't a given back in January, and that is all Ryan Poles. When you're saying that you trust Ryan Poles' judgment and putting together the 53-man roster, I believe that you're saying that you also trusted him or you began trusting him more back in January when he doubled down on Matt Eberflus, because that was the first big decision in putting together this team that you feel like is qualified to make a run this season. The Bears can be better. They better be better, and they can win more games than they lose. Still not sure that they are a playoff team. 312-644-6767. Do you think the Bears have put themselves in position to be the best team in the division, to be a playoff contender with this 53-man roster, with a 10-man offensive line that Ryan Poles believes is the best he has assembled, the deepest group he has had since he took over 3 years ago? Where's your faith in Caleb Williams? Where's your faith in this defense? Jalen Johnson's still out for personal reasons. There will be tweaks to the roster as well. I think Patrick Scales undergoing surgery today is a big deal. Scott Daly, the local kid, signed, added to the practice squad. He'll be elevated to the active roster. Kari Blassingame is back. A lot of things are happening. But those are guys... Mully, those are guys who are the bottom of the roster.
Right.
When Ryan Poles is talking expectations, they're based on the offense he put together, the defense he trusts, and the head coach he retained.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree with that, David. I think the way you broke down the offensive line is absolutely spot on. I think that they feel good about the group they have going into the season, but I don't think that's the group that they want to have for the course of the season. I really don't. And I think there are, there's still a couple of positions left in terms of the practice squad that you can fill 17 spots. I think they've got 14 or maybe 15 now with the long snapper. That they still have a couple of open. One apparently for a defensive tackle who is not only going to come in but is probably going to be available on game day, which would indicate that perhaps Zach Pickens isn't going to be healthy for the first game of the year, which is a very interesting idea because we don't know the severity of the injuries. I think that's still missing. And until you understand who's in and who's out at a lot of different positions, including the offensive line, you're not going to know what's available to them or how they're going to actually be performing.
We'll talk to Biggs at 7 o'clock. It'll be Biggs time. But you're right in referencing the roster tweak that we expect, and that is Sam Roberts, I believe, is a defensive lineman from the Patriots.
Right.
Who could be elevated to the active roster with the intent of being called up for week one, according to Adam Schefter, reported that yesterday. Zach Pickens' groin injury could lead to that being a problem. Now this would be the second defensive lineman off the street, if you will. I don't want to say the Chris Williams addition from the Browns was off the street, but he was going to get cut in all likelihood.
Yeah.
And you look at Sam Roberts being added. These are guys who are depth pieces. These are guys who are supplementing your weakest position group. So I think you're going to have to expect that. So as we said yesterday, the 52nd, 53rd guys on the Bears roster might want to refrain from popping the corks in any champagne bottles because they may not have much to celebrate in a couple days. We'll wait and see. But those spots are going to be fluid. Those spots are going to be constantly in a state of flux. So the Bears roster churn continues. You know what we should mention before we get to Big Time? We talked about it during the break. Allen Robinson, one of the really most professional guys that have come through here in the last several years, fell out of favor or just was different regime. He ended up with the Rams and he ended up with the Steelers and now he was cut by the Giants. He lands on the Lions practice squad.
Right.
Allen Robinson, pretty accomplished receiver for the Bears with the Mitch Trubisky connection. He was a good Bear for a couple years,
sure.
Big free agent addition.
Yeah.
Now is on the Lions practice squad.
Yeah.
Detroit native joins his hometown team. They also added Tim Patrick to the practice squad. I wonder if those guys will either A, contribute to the Lions, or B, have other teams tempted to sign them because you can do that if they're on the practice squad.
Yeah, it's really interesting because obviously in the old days you couldn't do that. You couldn't sign veteran guys to the practice squad, but there are those rules are long gone. So a guy who's had a career, I mean, he's had a career, is now ending his career hanging on a practice squad, which would indicate waiting to either get on the roster in Detroit or go to another team and get on a roster there. And rather than be out on the street, you're in a facility and you're working out.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's where his career has taken him now. You're trying to just hang around, stick around, and be in the league to draw a game check to contribute to a team that you think has playoff aspirations. Same dynamic going on in Dallas with Dalvin Cook. Oh, my gosh. Dalvin Cook has gone from the Vikings being a difference maker there, lost and relegated to obscurity to the Jets. Now he's on the street and signing with the Cowboys, a practice squad deal. What is Dalvin? Does he have anything left in the tank? At one point in time, he was pretty explosive.
He was a good player when he was in Minnesota, no doubt about it.
And when he went to the Jets last year, I thought, okay, that's going to be something. You're going to see him continue that. But I don't know what happens to running backs, but they fall off the cliff quickly.
They do, and that's why the value of the position has slipped so much because you don't know one year to next if they can keep it going. There are certainly great running backs that have done it for a long time. But they, you do. You slow down, you change as a player, you take too many hits, whatever way you want to word it. You're not the entity you once were when you were younger, and the, you know, more so than any other position, the hits really gang up on a running back.
How about Ezekiel Elliott and Dalvin Cook comprising the Cowboys' backfield? If this were 2021, you would be in business.
Yeah, there you go.
How about them Cowboys?
So they come with the time machine. All right, we got Biggs time next. We're going to bring in our guy, Brad Biggs. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.